Are you new to investing? Wondering whether or not you can self-manage your properties? Let us tell you about our partner, Rent Ready. Rent Ready is an awesome property management software that can help you grow and handle every aspect of your real estate investing business. Rent collection, tenant screening, maintenance, lease signing, listing. Honestly, Rent Ready has everything.
One of the best features is their new tenant software, Latchel, where you're able to remove yourself as the landlord from being the middleman between tenants and maintenance calls. And it's also essentially a fraction of the cost of what you would pay for property management.
Let me also mention that Rent Ready is unlimited. All their plans are flat price. This means you can keep adding properties to your portfolio without having to pay more. You can close on all the properties you want and Rent Ready's price stays the same. Best part about it is for you guys is they've given us an amazing deal to pass on to all Weekly Juice listeners. You can get 50% off any Rent Ready plan at rentready.com when you use our code JuicePod. That's rentready.com, RENTREDI.com with code JuicePod, JUICEPOD, and you'll get 50% off any plan. If this is your first time here, welcome. During our shows, we interview successful entrepreneurs and investors to spread knowledge, advice, and actionable tactics to help others in the pursuit of financial freedom. We discuss successes, failures, systems, motivations, experiences, and key lessons learned along the way in the hopes that these stories help you along your journey. Tune in every Wednesday to get your weekly juice. If you've been here before and like what you've been hearing, please subscribe, share with friends, rate and leave a review on Apple Podcasts. That goes an extremely long way for us. It's simple. Just click on your podcast app, type in our podcast name, The Weekly Juice, click on the reviews and let us know what you think. The more ratings we get, the more eyes we'll get on our show. And in turn, we'll be able to provide you all with high quality guests. You can also find us on Instagram at Weekly Juice Pod for daily content and personal finance tips to assist in your journey towards financial freedom. Welcome back to The Weekly Juice, where we talk real estate, personal finance, financial independence, and entrepreneurship. As always, it's your boys, Ryan and Corey, here with another episode for you. Today, we had on probably one of our most fun episodes in a long time. We interviewed Mark Jones. He's a real estate investor, educator, and investor-friendly realtor in LA. He works for eXp Realty and specializes in house hacking. He can be found on social media at Live and Rent Free. You probably know him.
He's the Live and Rent Free guy. Yeah.
If you're on social and you follow real estate investing, you probably follow him. He is the man, but dropped a lot of knowledge. And it was a very organic conversation about how to subsidize your housing and how house hacking essentially can change your life and get you a leg up on financial independence.
Yeah. We just gave a lot of examples of how, you know, you can turn the money that you would be spending on rent into investment returns, and over, you stack that up over a couple years span. It doesn't even have to be invested into real estate. It can just be invested into index funds or something. And you can be hundreds of thousands of dollars, if not millions of dollars ahead in an X amount of time frame. And Mark is like the expert on teaching people how to live rent free. And that's kind of his motto. He has courses behind it. This episode, I wouldn't say that it's not for the experienced real estate investor, because you can get a lot of nuggets from it, but the beginners, huge.
Absolutely. And honestly, it's an easy listen for this one. Yeah. And for me, half the time we said we're ready to run through a brick wall. Like, I'm ready to go full sprint right now.
And it was funny, so man. Well. It was just like, you know, you never really know how people are until you have a full conversation with them. And Mark was just a really genuine, nice, caring individual who's just like, really, he puts himself out there. He really wants to help people. And he's doing that every single day. So I was excited. I thought it was a great episode.
Couldn't have said it better. With that, let's bring in Mark. Mark, officially welcome to The Weekly Juice. We're thrilled to have you here. You've come highly regarded, and we've been following your story for a while now and your journey to financial freedom. You have a bunch of different businesses going on, but most notably, you're a realtor in LA, investor-friendly realtor, and you specialize in house hacking. So just wanted to know if you could give our listeners who don't know you as well as we think we do, a little background on yourself, like who you are, where you're from, and how you got into real estate in general.
Sweet. So for anyone who doesn't know me, my name is Mark. I am the founder of Living Rent Free. It's living with no G, rent free. You can find me on Instagram, Twitter, different social media. But basically, to get into real estate, I mean, I'm born and raised in LA, right? So I got my UCLA t-shirt on. I'm getting my MBA there. But what really got me started was seeing the Los Angeles real estate boom. Before the bubble popped, basically before the bubble burst. But We owned a property. My family owned a property. Anybody who knows LA, it's like near the Grove, near LACMA, Fairfax District, like in that area. So grew up in a nice area. Home was like 190,000 when we bought it in 97. It went up to being worth over $1 million by 2007. So I'm like, I mean, I've always been observing, like I'm smart and stuff. So I was like, wait a minute. We like painted the walls. I cut the grass throughout my childhood. We played outside. We didn't really do anything to make it like 10X in value. You know what I mean? And of course it was inflated because of, you know, the mortgage, 2008 mortgage crisis and all that. But nevertheless, I saw the possibilities in real estate. Also, my dad owned some properties, some mixed use, multifamily, just properties throughout LA. And again, I was just keen, just paying attention. There's this big real estate developer named Rick Caruso. He has like the top performing malls in the United States. So he has Americana, which is kind of near you, Corey, you said up in Burbank. I think that's in Glendale though. And then he has the Grove. So I grew up going to the Grove and I'm like, man, like this is crazy. You know, real estate is amazing. You can make a lot of money from it. So that just sparked the interest, man. And seeing that it's not passive. Now that I'm in real estate, it's not passive, but you hear that it's passive and it's like semi-passive if you get a property manager. So hearing like the wealth building side, with appreciation in LA and then the semi-passive income, it was like a no-brainer, for me to get interested in real estate.
Cool. That's awesome. Thanks for sharing. I'm curious what your primary focus is right now. I know that you kind of explained a little bit how you got into the game and the mindset behind it, but what are you focused on right now with your live and rent free business?
Look, man, honestly, we were talking about it just before the show started, but it's like, I'm so passionate. One of my life purpose is to empower people, right? So people say like, I want to get FI through real estate, or I want to get FI through getting 5 million or 2.5 million in the stock market, in my brokerage or whatever, so I can live my dreams, live my passions. I'm living my passion right now. Like every time I get on Instagram, I have a student telling me, thank you so much, I just closed on a 4 unit. So I'm passionate about that. Thank you so much. I'm building wealth. I'm making 300 a month in passive income. My husband and I, and we're putting that money away in the index fund, or we're about to buy our second property here in Chicago. So because my passion is to empower people economically, and I like real estate, I combine this concept of living rent free, it's catchy, with content teaching people how to do it, with courses that are more comprehensive and in depth that will teach them, you know, step by step, A through Z, how to get their, I guess, feet wet in real estate. And I mean, FHA, 4 unit, it's like a no-brainer. You can leverage it, house hacking, get multiple properties. It's just an easy way to get in. And sometimes I think people preach like a huge portfolio to the layman, to the entry person, and it just goes over their head. Whereas if you teach something simple like house hacking, which is living in one unit, renting out the other ones, people could just get it simply and just start building wealth.
Could you, Mark, give us an idea of how buying a 4 unit, just maybe some of the numbers and how this, you think this could change somebody's life, just the way that you would, you know, give us maybe a little sneak preview of what you would tell somebody in a course. You don't have to do this full thing, no. Just like why you think that's so valuable for people.
Yeah, man. I mean, if you use a 4 unit example, it's just crazy because say you're paying, I'm just like running the numbers in my head, right? Like say you're paying $2,000 a month in rent, depending on where you're located, that may be like high, that may be low, maybe in the middle, but say you're paying $2,000 a month in rent. You find out about this house hacking, right? Where you could live in one of the 4 units and rent out the other three, and the other three could cover and eliminate that $2,000, right? So $2,000 a month is $24,000 a year. And that's every year that you're living in it. So if you're living in it for 2 years, that's 48,000. If you're living in it for just 12 months, that's 24,000, right? So by putting down as little as 3.5%, let's say you get a $400,000 property, and you put down, what is that, 14, 15,000 for the down payment.
Yep.
You'll get your money back. You recoup all your money within 7 months, right? 7 times 2 is 14. And then everything beyond there is total upside, right? So there's really no other investment that you can go and do it legally, put up for 14 grand in 7 months, get the money back. And then every month after that, pocket 2 grand. So for the average person, eliminating their largest expense, which is like housing, or reducing it, is like a revolutionary concept. It's like, where else can I go? I can't go to my boss and say I need an extra 2 grand. You can, if you're on commissions and you're in sales, you can go earn it, right? You can go get an education and come back and earn it, but there's no play that you could run within 3 to 6 months, like buying a 4-unit FHA, that'll give you those kind of returns.
We always preach house hacking as like, I personally believe it was the best way to get started in real estate investing. Now you are talking about people who could just, you could just do this for 3, 4, 5, 6 years and eliminate the largest expense and then have that money and invest in whatever you want in the stock market, in your, a business, starting a business to help people like you do. But we were like, oh, house hacking, this is the way. I eliminated my my housing expense for the first 3 years, which gave me that income to go buy other properties.
So, it's insane. Right. You're giving yourself, people are always looking for ways to make more money, right? And they maybe don't want to start a passive income business, or they don't want to go get a second job or something like this. You're almost giving yourself an extra monthly check or like an increase in your income by taking out that biggest expense, which is your living expense. Like, I know a few people that work in like construction, right? Say they're about, maybe their salary is like 50K, and another dude is working in sales. He makes 100K, but the guys in sales that spending or makes 100K is spending all his money on his primary residence, where the guy that's in construction, that's house hacking, is getting paid to have someone live with him. And it doesn't matter because it's in living in the basement. It's in another unit. So it's right. It is a revolutionary, I guess, kind of idea. And it seems so simple to us because we've been doing it. Like we lived it. But for people that haven't, once they finally have that aha moment, they're like, hey, I'm willing to live with someone. Like, mm-hmm. if you have a separate unit and it's broken up and you're not like in each other's corridors, it is life changing.
Can be life changing for sure.
And Craig Kurlop wrote the book, House Hacking, from, I think it's a Bigger Pockets published book. That's an excellent one to read if any of you guys listening haven't.
Shout out to Craig Kurlop. House Hacking Strategy. Yeah. Really good book.
He's absolutely the man. I want to touch on this. You have a pretty cool, I almost want to call it like a, I don't know, like a cycle that you work with, right? So you're a realtor for EXP and you have that business. Then you have your online live and rent free business. And then you get, and essentially like your clients from online can funnel into your real estate business. And then the money you earn, obviously you're house hacking now, so your housing's covered, but then you can buy more properties and build a bigger portfolio. So it's this big trifecta you have going on, which I absolutely love. And the coolest thing is, like, you mentioned that like, a lot of people are soul searching, right? For things like, hey, like, what's my purpose? And like, what's living your passion, right? You said you're already doing that. You're 31, right? Like, that's pretty cool. Cause it takes a lot of people to realize, all right, once they hit financial freedom, they're like, I'm good now, but what do I do? And you're like, dude, I'm doing this. I'm
on the
living
way to freedom.
On the way. And it's all funneling into each other, man. I'm like, I'm so in tune with it. Love what you're doing.
And really, I guess you said you're my age, man. As you get older, you realize like, FI is cool, and that's what we're shooting for, right? That's what we're gunning for. But it's like, really, you want prosperity, so you want FI, but you want like happiness, you want health, you want love, you want peace, right? So now it's like, you have time control, time freedom. I have more or less location freedom. I have properties in escrow right now, so I have to do inspections and different things. But you guys saw I could travel to Tahoe, I could go to Mexico, I could do different things. So it's like, I'm getting a taste of FI like now, right? And something that's like, that I discovered, you guys partner up to buy your real estate, right? I've built up relationships with real estate investors all across the country, right? So at any drop of a dime, I even was going to raise like a few a few hundred thousand dollars to start investing and buy like apartment buildings. People are pledging money, ready to rock. They trust me. I've had to establish a relationship. So that's another thing that's going on in the back of my mind is, hey, when it's time to get that rental portfolio, when it's time to expand, I have that network. Even you guys, like, I'm building a relationship with you guys off of Instagram. And so I'm patient, man. Again, a lot of people running to get a certain level with their portfolio. I enjoy my nice little cozy portfolio triplex here in LA, but
it's great.
Yeah, it's just a chess game, man. It's a chess game. Yeah,
it is. And I think what's important too is like, people always, I don't know, I'll just say this, like, before I got into it, and like, not saying we're influencers, right? But like, we used to knock an influencer. You'd be like, okay, why are they taking all these pictures? They're trying to make this money online. Like, let's just talk about 50,000 followers and people that look up to you, you're funneling it into all your businesses. You're changing lives. Right. But you know what the most important thing is when you, not the most important, but one of the most important things is you're talking about raising money, and it's so hard for people to raise private capital because they lack the relationships. They may be amazing at finding deals, but they have no one to buy into them. Yep. You have a digital resume. Someone told me that.
Brand identity.
Like someone can go on your, you could have a business card. Those are kind of dated, but you just be like, hey, here, find me on Instagram. Someone sees that you have 50K. All you're doing is talking about real estate and giving free information out. Cool. Someone can buy one of your awesome courses and get, you know, in the weeds with you. Right. But the fact that you're posting things every day, helping people out, showing these success stories, that's the key, because I would trust you immediately. I'd break through a certain barrier and I'd be like, right, I want to have a conversation with this guy. Right. So I think that's awesome. And for people listening, like there is a science to this whole thing, and it makes sense to be pumping your message out to the world.
Yeah. We talked to Brennan from Budget Dog. I don't know if you've interacted with him.
No, I know Brennan. Yeah,
but he said, I believe he said attention is the new currency or something like that. He told us this, and it's not attention just for the sake of attention, but the attention for the sake of building that relationship that what you're talking about. And that's exactly what you're doing. You're building a brand, you're building the relationship with your followers, and then instantly there's trust. When you have people that follow you that understand that your message is for good, you can raise $300,000 way faster than a lot of other people that are trying to do it without this platform that you have. So it's a testament to living in 2021 and understanding how the world works today, right?
You got it, man. And I didn't realize it at first, because I'm like, honestly, I was going to, so I have like relationships again with people that are investors all across the country. And I know some people in St. Louis, and I like almost bought some rental properties in St. Louis, but I'm just like slowly thinking and saying, hey, brand identity, right? Create an expert voice, continue to grow, continue to network, and think bigger, dream bigger. Yeah, we could do a portfolio, personal portfolio, but what if I can, you know, raise way more money, get way more people passive income. And then as a consequence, I get to own a percentage of a larger, even larger portfolio. You know what I mean? So just taking it slow, man, one step at a time. And I want to give you guys kudos, because I knew about your brand and everything you guys are doing, like before, like your reputation preceded you basically. So you're establishing that expertise, that brand authority, all that as well.
That's
so,
our producer.
Kudos
that's
to awesome. You guys. But,
well, thank you.
But we appreciate that, man.
It's a slow grind, right? We're trying. Yeah. We'll get there, man. We'll see you in LA.
Yeah. The whole reason that we started the podcast was genuinely to organically network with people like yourself, and just to have this, these cool conversations with people that we know that we'll be able to build relationships with. We talk about real estate as a relationship business that it is, but business and the world is about relationships and people and connection. Like, what do you authentically have without the people around you? Like, you can be the richest person in the world, and if you have nobody to share that with or build, you know, these relationships with, it's really all for nothing. So
on that point, it's kind of, we've talked about this previously, obviously I haven't done it with you, Mark, but it's hard to, you realize when you're coming up in this game, right? It's kind of hard to have certain conversations with people that just like in your circle that just don't get it, right? Like they're like, that's a liability, or you're spending all this money doing this. Oh, you never have time to hang out anymore. Like, oh, I suggest you do this, but they're not doing it. There's just like these conversations. Corey was my guy, right? He's like my what do you want to call him? Like my rock, dude. Right. But like the guy that I could lean on and say, yo, like, can we talk biz? Can we talk money? Can we talk this? And we just like straight shot it. And, you know, we decided that we would form this into a partnership. But the reason I'm bringing all this up is I think it's really cool how you parlay, and I keep bringing this back up, like all of your businesses are going in the same direction. Corey and I talk about this all the time. Like, I'm in sales for something completely different, right? I love it. And it's like, I'm proud of the job. Like it's really fun, but it's not every day in my brain, I have to shut that part off and then go real estate. And then I got to go financial independence. So for you to have all three things going at once, dude, you're light speed ahead of where people are. And it's like, I'm thinking about like, just maybe our age or like technology we're doing. There's guys that are in the real estate game that are old landlords that are still writing leases by hand and like signing things. I'm like, dude, there are some young cats out there that are just going to blow by you. So like people listening too, you have a leg up. You just need to start. That's kind of where I'm getting at. It's like, start with house hacking, get a feel, and then you're just going to, it can go really fast. It's been a year and a half-ish since we've been in partnership, and we already, property number 4 or 5 under contract.
Man, so I love to see it, man. I love to see it.
Crazy.
And you know who really taught me all of it is, because it started off with passion, but it wasn't super strategic. Craig Kierlot, man. Like, I have his number. Like, we talk like once a month over Zoom and stuff. And he sat down with me and he's like, man, you need synergy. The words you're talking about, synergy. Your life has to have synergy. So you're firing off on all cylinders. You wake up, you're helping clients. In the afternoon, you're helping students. At night, you're studying real estate at UCLA, right? And then once it's time for you to pull those triggers to partner up with somebody and start buying real estate, it's abundance. It's all, you can close your eyes and just reach out, and you got partners willing to work with you all over the place, right? So that's kind of where I am. And it's unorthodox, right? Actually, I think most people who talk to me, they're always like, oh, what's your portfolio looking like? And or what are you doing to expand it? And I'm like, I'm actually on a different path right now, but the end goal is the same.
Yep. Cool. It's you don't need to have a massive portfolio to see success, right? Like someone said on one of our previous episodes, small but mighty. Like, I love that. Like, we talked about your portfolio, right? Like, it's not massive, but you traded up to get there where you are. Now it's worth smooth mil potentially. Like, it's pretty sweet. can you talk about that?
Let's get into that a little bit. Like, you first getting started in real estate. Now you have this triplex. Mm-hmm. What would the process like to get in and also to trade up that you mentioned?
Yeah, man. That's kind of a long story because I started off. So I was just recently interviewed by Craig Kierlot and we were talking about the beginnings of it. And I think they said that house hacking was coined in 2012 or 2013 or something like that. But, or maybe 2014. But when I was looking to get into real estate, there wasn't even the house hacking term, bro. It wasn't even coined. Brandon Turner. He hadn't even coined it yet. Right. So my thing was, I was working as a new dietitian. I'm young, just fresh out of school. And I'm looking at my bills. I'm like, if I could eliminate this housing expense, I'll be grand. I'm already saving a little bit, but I'll be doing well. Right. I can make some financial headway, some progress. And so I came with the idea, kind of like Corey, and got the single family. And so in the area, I was like in the outskirts of LA. It's in a valley, like a suburb called Antelope Valley. But they didn't have many duplexes or multifamily. It's like more suburban, just single families. So I got in on a single family. I think it was like 165, 170. Mortgage was looking like just over 1,000. Tenants were giving me just over like 1,200. When I say tenants, they were roommates. I lived in the master bedroom. There's a bunch of engineering guys because it's near like an Air Force base, aerospace engineers. And I was clearing it. I cleared the mortgage and then we split up the utilities. And my mind was, and it was revolutionary. I know for us it's not, but like it was revolutionary for me, man, because I just had an extra, like you said, an extra check every month, like Ryan was saying. And I didn't even change jobs. I didn't do anything. It was just, I made this real estate play. And being in LA, I knew that the appreciation, the market would appreciate. And so I think in a few years, it went up in value like almost 100,000 within like 18 to 24 months. And so I was like about to, again, expand the portfolio. Like that's almost like the dogma, like the religion, like expand the portfolio, get more units. Like, and sometimes I guess my story is different. I just have to do what's right for me, like at the time, right? So I got a HELOC and I was about to buy a couple more properties, but I got a HELOC for like 50K or something like that. And I was going to put 20% down on like a couple $100,000 properties or something, whatever it was. But I met someone that was working at a brokerage and I was kind of like venting to her. She was an assistant, but I was telling her my dream would be to own a multifamily in Los Angeles. But I know the pricing and the price to rent ratios and the FHA self-sufficiency rule and different things would make it like impossible. Her name was Lauren. She's our age, Ryan. Now she's my business partner. She's a millionaire like now, but she tells me, she's like, hey, like, I'm not trying to step on your, you know, toes or anything, but I just want to let you know, I own 2-4 units in LA. And so my mind is blown. I'm like, what the hell? Like, she owns 2-4 units. And she's like, I think I was like 26 at the time, 27 or something. So she's my age. She owns 2-4 units. Mind is blown. And when she says 2-4 units, I want everybody to understand this. Like, I'm extrapolating 20 years out, right? I'm extrapolating 30 years out because I'm an LA born and bred, right? So in 20 years, 30 years, in 10 years, she's a millionaire, easy, right? When it's paid off, she's cash flowing thousands of dollars and she's a millionaire from the portfolio, right? So, and you could leverage it to buy more, you could do more. So I'm extrapolating this and I'm like, you got to tell me how you did it, what neighborhoods, blah, blah. So we build a relationship. I end up selling the first one because the HELOC just wasn't enough. Got into the Inglewood area in a triplex. And we can talk about the numbers too, if you guys want, but
yeah,
definitely. So just go into it.
Sure.
Yeah. So, sold the first one and went up, like I said, almost 100,000. As we know, as real estate investors, if you're living in the property, it's your primary residence for two of the last 5 years, you don't have to pay the capital gains tax.
Yeah.
So, consult with your CPA though. We're not CPAs. I don't know if you guys are CPAs. I'm not a CPA.
No.
Yeah. Consult with your CPA, public accountant. So didn't have to pay the capital gains tax, folded that money over to a triplex that I found in Inglewood area. Right. So for people who don't know about Inglewood, again, LA native, right. Cause I like to play long, like chess, like long games. Right. So I'm up now in 18 months, a quarter mil. So just off this one property, I know like millionaire status guaranteed just off of one property. So I am more methodical and kind of strategic with my moves. So in Inglewood, we have the new Clipper Stadium coming, right? We have something called the SoFi Stadium, which is brand new. It's where the next US Olympics are going to be held. Crazy amount of gentrification, a new train coming through that leads to the airport. Inglewood is like really close to the airport. And so it's just all these opportunities coming to Inglewood. Also, we just got the Rams, like a new team or whatever. And that's all at the SoFi Stadium. So knowing all this, I'm like, okay, this is the place to invest. Invest there within 18 months. My property goes up in value, like a quarter mil, breaking even, living rent free. Got in at like 640. Property's like 640. Mortgages is around like 3,000. Tenants paying me around 3,000. Crazy thing is though, one of my tenants is actually moving out, and here in LA, there's like suppressed rents because of rent control. We don't want to get into the politics of it, but it's rent control here. It's not landlord friendly here. So it's tenant friendly. So she's leaving, and it's a 3-bedroom, and she's paying like $1,500. It could be rented for like $2,600. So now I'm going to be cash flowing like an additional like $1,100 just off of her, you know, vacating the unit, me fixing it up a little bit. Man, it's just been an insane ride. It's been a great ride to be able to live in my city, LA, and live for free and see.
I want to talk about this because you have this ability to, because you're from the area, you've learned the market, you understand it. And there's so much value in the fact that you grew up there that you said, this is coming in here. You've almost done research by osmosis just by living there. Like, you know what's happening. You know, if you've this is just, I'm playing devil's advocate on both sides of this. I know people that make a lot of money investing in Indiana. We just talked to Jared, he invested in Indiana. I know a lot of people that make money in North Carolina, the Midwest, Missouri, wherever. But to get $250,000 of equity in 18 months in some of these areas where you buy $80,000 properties, that ain't happening. It's just not happening. So there's a lot of value in understanding a market. Now, maybe they really understand that market and that's their competitive advantage. You had a competitive advantage of really understanding your market, and it took you one property to get $250,000 of equity, where for us, we invest in a couple areas like maybe C plus, B minus. It would take 7 or 8 of those properties to get $250,000 in that time frame, right?
It's a hard
argument. In a good market.
Yeah, it's a hard balance, right? I'm just thinking like the seesaw here. Like, you have appreciation and cash flow, and like it depends on who you are and your situation. What you said, Mark, like you took the appreciation play, but not really a gamble, because you know the area is coming up. Like, it's a calculated risk, put it that way. There's other people that are just they'll go invest in a fourplex for $50,000 in Bumble, Cleveland, and they're going to have the worst tenants ever potentially. And net, the rent, maybe they're not even going to collect the rent. They see the cash flow, the number that you could potentially get. Good luck managing that and getting a property manager to manage that. Mm-hmm. So it's funny. Corey and I have been business planning. I've been talking about this. Like, we want a couple hitters like the cash flow play guys, right? Like the $175,000 property cash flow is about $8,000 to $1,000. Great. You have a couple of those bad boys. Let's go. And then you're going to get a couple like yours potentially, right? You got to find the right pocket. Mm-hmm. And we've been debating, hey, we've been meeting a lot of people similar to you, not 50,000 people, about 10. I'm just playing, but like, networking around, right? And then it's funny, deals come up and people are like, hey, what do you think? And so my question to you is, I know you're our LA guy, but would you ever consider investing out of state? And like, what recommendations would you have for people when they're getting floating deals like this? And like, do you want to have your portfolio in a bunch of different spots?
Right. Yeah, man. So it's interesting. As a you covered a lot of stuff that I kind of want to talk about. But one of the first things I want to say is, like, I have a friend. His name is James Allen. He has a YouTube channel and he's on Instagram. He's building it up. But we met years ago and he's called the Out-of-State Investor. That's his handle. But he built up a $1 million portfolio in Decatur. I think he has like one property there, but all in Knoxville, Tennessee.
Yep.
And so his play is, I'm trying to quit my job like ASAP. I want the FI by real estate investing ASAP. So he saw some appreciation, nothing crazy. But what he did was he understood that there's two different types of markets. I guess you could say three, but there's two different types of markets. There's an appreciation market, there's a cash flow market, and then there's a little mix in between the two. And so knowing that and giving like response to your question, Ryan, to anybody who wants to invest in real estate, know what you're trying to do long term and in the short term. So for me, I actually did do cash flow because I eliminated my rent. Here, I would have to pay like two grand for an apartment like mine, and I don't have to pay for it. So it's kind of like immediately I got $2,000. Immediately I got $24,000 a year. Plus, I'm going to get rich from the property and or wealthier through appreciation in the long term. But by meeting people, a lot of people have come to me. My main person being Lauren, who said, hey, Mark, we can't make cash flow. We can't get great returns here in LA. Let's pool money together and go out of state. And so I am 100% about it. I'm really busy right now. And so I've been telling her, I think we need to like hold off a little bit before making that play. But so many people have sent me bills, man, from the Midwest to the South, Utah, just all over, Wisconsin, Indiana, Chicago. And I guess now I'm patient because I see all the opportunity. I'm like, let me just wait and they're going to be there and the money's going to be there. So let me just wait and build it up.
Like
but,
that.
But yeah, bro, like the cash flow is king, man. Cause cash flow gives you freedom. My appreciation is not going to give me freedom. Let me get it clear. It's just long-term. I know I'm going to be bulletproof, but in the short term, I can't just quit jobs or stop working because I don't have cash flow.
Yeah, but that being said, eliminating $24,000 a year, let's just throw that number out there as the money that you're saving from not having to pay rent. You said that you can't ask your boss for a raise. Not only that, but that's $24,000 a year. You have to make probably $35,000 to $38,000 a year or more. So it's not just asking for a raise. You're going and changing your life to try to make that money, right? And it's amazing. If people just want to spend, let's just say you say, I am going to take the next 5 to 8 years and I'm going to house hack for that time frame. Mm-hmm. And you can, on average, $24,000 a year. If you do the math, in 5 years, you're at $100,000. In 8 years, you're at $160,000. And that invested in 15 years from then, you're talking hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars, potentially millions of dollars. So you don't have to be this big real estate investor to do all this. You can just say, I'm going to sacrifice for 5 to 8 years in house hack and take that money that I would be spending on rent or mortgage and then go invest it elsewhere.
It's hands down. If you just graduated from school, I'm just saying this from me, like, you know, I know not everybody goes to college, whatever, it's fine. But like from my experience, and we know it's the norm, I won't lie, like the norm of society today, a lot of people go to college. So like when you graduate, there's this in-between period when you're just first getting your job and you're like trying to find roommates to live in that new city. And like to not know about house hacking, which I didn't back then, sucks horribly. And I'm like, but this guy figured it out and it's kind of cool. And
you're guy, out, Corey,
smart guy, good guy. That's why our partners, you got luck. Find really someone smarter than you. It's great. But no, for real, I basically just a recommendation for people, like, don't go spend, you're going to spend $2,000 just to live in a cool place in Center City or in New York or in LA, just to feel cool and feel like you're making money. When you first get a taste of making money, save up some dough, live with your parents. If you can, if you're living in the same city, save up some dough, put a down payment on a multifamily, live in one unit, rent out the other, call it a day. You're then all the rest you're saving, pump it to index funds, pump it to your savings. Yep. Or you just live. You know what I mean? Like, you're talking about living this, going up at the same speed. You don't have to sacrifice everything. Once you have that huge chunk, what's it? Food, car, or transportation, and housing. Those are the three big ones. If you can eliminate one of those, and then maybe you live close enough to work, you don't have to drive. Great. You're paying for food.
Yep. You get to a certain age where you kind of realize that, like, it's the status of driving a super nice car. It kind of fades in a way. And like, if you have an abundance of money, it's a great thing. And then then you really have that freedom that we all kind of want. But there's these years, 20 to 35 for us, it works differently for everybody. There's these years where we're saying, like, it doesn't mean that much to me. I bought a Mercedes when I was 22. And then I realized a couple of years later, I was like, it doesn't mean that much to me to have this. I'd much rather have the time freedom. And that's exactly what you teach.
And he made me sell mine on Saturday. So
he literally sold his.
Yeah. Oh, you sold your Benz?
Yeah. So welcome.
Long story, man. But he's in his Nissan. So
your boy's got the Maxima Sporting. It's actually fire. It
kind of. Those are pretty cool though. Yeah,
dude. It's fine. If I had to switch, I'm like, all right, the thing rips. Got a V6 in it, but like, it hurt, dude. But I'm preaching all the stuff. I'm done.
Yeah, but something else I was just thinking about when Corey was talking is like, if you do want to expand the portfolio, say you do want to use the portfolio, because I know a couple of my students who are buying, like, have bought multiple 4 units, like, after learning about the first one. It's a stamp of credibility, right? You've been a landlord. You have the discipline to save up money for the down payment. You have the business acumen to run the whole 4 unit as a business, right? So now when you're looking for partners, you're trying to expand and build that portfolio, people are going to look at you as official, right? As a, you know, bona fide real estate investor. And you have to realize that, like, I have a dentist client now who, you know, makes plenty of money. Him and his wife have a practice. They don't know anything about real estate, but they have a lot of money to invest in real estate. So just you owning that one property and connecting with somebody that has that money, but not that knowledge and that experience, that could be golden for you to start building, like, a huge portfolio or a larger portfolio.
Totally. That gets into the private money game a little bit too. And, you know, we're trying to go down that road, and I just keep bringing it up to all of our guests because it's kind of cool. I'm interested on potentially if you have ever, maybe you've used it or helped clients use this, right? You've been in the weeds here, but basically we're at this in the cycle, and I'm sure a lot of your clients are in the same boat. It's like in your investor clients, like, you get to a point where you save up 30, 40K, mm-hmm. you put it on a down payment on investment property. Yeah. Then you're like, okay, cool. Cash flow's coming in, but it's not quickly catching up. It's a long-term play. It's working, but mm-hmm. it takes a while to save up again. Okay. Another 30, 40 to 50, mm-hmm. drop it. And you're like, damn, I'm back down to a goose egg again or close by. And so it kind of, at some point you want to break out of that cycle. We've gotten a recommendation or like some peace of mind from other investors. Like, dude, get to year 3 or 5 and your portfolio is going to stack up. You'll be good. And it'll keep chugging along for you, but it's hard
to pull money out of that.
To pull money out. Sorry. To access your bank. Mm-hmm. But it's hard to get there, man. You're like, you're going through these highs and lows. And like, yep. I don't know if you have any recommendations or if your clients go through that, like, have you coached them to break through that cycle? And like, maybe they use private money as opposed to their own, so they don't have to gut their accounts.
I would say I do know some people who do JV deals. So joint ventures. So it's private money, but it's like, it's a little bit different from like private equity or whatever. It's like a step before that. And I would recommend that to you guys, because like how we were talking about how I could raise money from my followers at your 5,000, 7,500, 8,000, whatever you guys are at, people will do. I would probably spend money with you guys, knowing that you guys have 8, 9 units in like Jersey City or Bloomfield, wherever you guys are in Jersey. Like, I'm willing to throw 10, 20 grand at a deal if it makes sense, just off our relationship and you guys being like thorough and legit. So instead of waiting to raise that 30K, 40K, okay, and then drop it down and save it again. You could raise, instead of saving that 30, 40K and then dropping down and depleting, you could go out and raise 300 and, you know, get the cash flow. And then the next 6 months, next 5 months, next 2 months, raise more money. There's no limit to the money. It's an unlimited abundance. It's about you finding the deals. Right. And the crazy part is when you look at your equity, sorry, real quick, Ryan, your cash flow could be the same as that 30, 40 down payment deal on this big deal that you pull together.
Right.
And you can move way faster.
I love that. The one question I have is like when you get and it's not the greed factor coming in here, but I'm just thinking about it. It's like a lot of people, they want to get into these deals, right? But you don't want to get into a deal with someone you don't know that well for 30 years. That's like the thing. It's like, how long do you keep them in for? What's that contract look like? It's like, are they out after five once they got their money back plus some? Like, how do you, what do you recommend there?
Yeah. So that's a good question. So there's people who have different investment philosophies, right? So I would encourage, I follow you guys on Twitter, but there's like a real estate Twitter and there's a bunch of guys who do this kind of stuff, like private equity and stuff.
Oh, cool.
And each person kind of has their own philosophy, has their own mission or belief, right? Mm-hmm. So there's the buy and hold forever guys where it's like, we're doing 1031 exchanges, we're refinancing, I'm never selling this. Or if I do sell it, we're doing a 1031 exchange. And all the investors are on the same page. It's like, this is like for retirement. Like I need this cash flow, 15% return, 12% return into retirement, whatever, right? And then there's clauses in there that allow buyouts. So if you wanna just sell, but it could be triggered after 3 years or after 5 years, you could do buyouts. So that's if you're a forever guy. If you're like 5 years, most people are like 5 to 6 years, we'll do a reassessment. We'll either refinance, or we'll sell, we'll have a cash out event. That's what it's called. And everyone will get their return of capital. Assuming that we do well, you get your return of capital. And then during that 5 year period, assuming it's stabilized, say after the first 12 months, you'll get return on capital. So that's the cash flow, that's the payouts, that's the dividends. But I'm a buy and hold forever kind of guy. At first I was like, oh, let's do the 5 year and then like cash out. But I was talking to my business partner, Lauren, the one who owns like, she owns like 16 units here in LA. And I want to find people from my platform that want to hold forever. And we just keep cash flowing. I mean, not cash flowing, keep refinancing and cash flowing and then just hold it forever. Just keep going.
I agree with that, Mark. I probably will end up not being a cash flow forever guy, but I want to be a cash flow forever guy, and I'm going to continue to push that message. And I'll tell you why. I've not met one person that has said to me, damn, I wish I like everyone says, I wish I would have held on to that property longer. Yep. My biggest mistake was selling that property 10 years ago after holding it for 6 years, yep. Unless you're in Inglewood, right? Like, I mean, don't get me wrong. If you were to go, there are situations where if you're to buy a property for $500,000 and in 6 years, it's worth 1.3, like cash that 800K out. There's no problem with that. I'm not suggesting that, but I know so many people that have bought a property for $150,000 in 1993, and then it was $250 in 2006, and then now in 2021 it's $575,000, and it would have been paid off, right? So it's like, there are, the way that Ryan and I have phrased it to ourselves in our portfolio is that once we get to 20-30 units, what we're probably going to end up doing is having a 5 to 8 units that are just forever. We're going to pay them off and hold them forever. That's our retirement. We're never going to touch that. We'll know, and then we'll have this part of our portfolio that we have, you know, maybe at a 25 to 50% leveraged area where we can just either refi or play around with it. And then you'll have the new ones that you bought that you have to get to that seasoned period. So it's, once you get into more units, it's, you're able to do that.
Because everyone has their own like sense of security, right? And like your FI number is different, but like feeling comfortable. So for me, obviously buy and hold forever, that's the play here. But to know, let's just talk about this Inglewood deal for example, right? Like it could still, the trajectory of this thing. Okay, fine. I'm just going to make numbers up here. Say the 500K, right? And it goes up to 1.5. Mm-hmm. You're going to cash out a mil minus taxes, right? So like, let's call it 700,000, something like that. You're going to, for someone, that's amazing. They're set. Dude, if you toss me 700K, I promise you I could find a way to make that work for the rest of my life through investing. I swear to God. But like, not that it's just to have it sit there, but I'd feel a hell of a lot better having that thing. I'd be like, you're not telling me what to do. You're not telling me what to do. I'm doing me. So to have one of those deals in our little, like, I don't know, what do you want to call it? Our hopper, right? Like you have the couple of like 5-10 of those cash flow monkeys that just bum, 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 bum every month. And then you got the guys that you play with, you season them. But I want one of those big boys because that's just going to make you feel so chill. Imagine him cut a check for 500 grand, great dude. You feel so comfortable and not comfortable enough to not work, but you're like, we're good.
And so you're speaking to my mindset, man, because like I said, I have a unique history, man. Like I don't want to get too deep into it, but like, you know, my mom passed away. I lost multiple homes that we owned in our family. And so it was like a destabilization. And so in my mind, if I have an Inglewood triplex multifamily, right, in my portfolio, and long term, I feel that peace of mind. I have that bulletproof, you know, mentality. But get this, say you do the cash out event. Thank God we live in America. We have the 1031 exchange. In places like Canada, they don't have that. You could take that $750 and go buy a huge apartment building in LA, in Inglewood. That could be the down payment for a bigger apartment building, right? Or that could be in Fresno, or you could go out somewhere else in the Midwest and buy a huge cash flow, not a monkey, a gorilla, right?
There you go. There we go.
I was wondering, I was like, well,
I couldn't find the right word. I'm like, I don't know. They shovel money and shovel. No. Money. I don't freaking know what I was thinking.
No, but you're right. You're funny, bro. But just knowing that it's like, yo, I have options, right? So definitely going to build up the portfolio. This is just like the, you know, starting point, launching pad, but it's just different strokes for different folks, man. And I think you guys should just explore doing like JVs and private equity. And the cool thing is with the JV, you can just create a separate LLC for just like one deal that you guys do with like a partner you find. Right. You can keep you guys, you know, plan going, but just try something like on the side, raising money. So
I think that's a great idea, Mark. I think also what you're saying is there's this notion that like the rich get richer and that it's a bad thing and being rich is greedy. And like the rich get richer is 100% true.
Yep.
But the reason why it's true is because of the eighth wonder of the world and compounding interest. And it doesn't mean that they're greedy and they want to take money from other people. It's just because if you get that $700,000 and you know how to invest it properly in a cash flowing asset, or you know where to put it, yeah, it's a lot easier to turn $750,000 into $1.5 million than it is to turn $10,000 into $100,000. So it's like, it's very, like once you understand that game and you can keep building on it, it really is it's pretty lucrative. So I hope that your property, your triplex, is worth $2 million in the next 10 years, too, right? Because then you have so many options.
The hardest point is like, when do you sell? That's the, like, you're like, I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, there's always, what a lot of investors that we've talked to have said, like, and Michael Zuber specifically, who's got like 200 units, his thing is one rental at a time. And we interviewed
you guys interviewed him. He's so cool, man.
Yeah, he's literally one of the most knowledgeable people that we've ever met. And he said, if somebody wants to be, he called it stupid, right? Or he says, if someone wants to be dumb and pay me $200,000 over asking price, I'll sell them the property. He's not hold forever just to hold forever. He said that there's going to be a time kind of like right now where people are just going to overpay for things. And he said, I'll offload it then, right? Like that's his thing. So yeah, there is a time. It depends on the market. It depends on, you know, what's going on in your neighborhoods, but
and your life.
I think if you have enough units where you can have kind of the ones that you would sell if you got that number, ones that you just hold on to as a retirement.
And we didn't even mention, you mentioned refi or like leveraging a little bit, but there's refinances, man. You don't even have to sell as well. I don't think I would ever sell like anything in LA that I own. I don't think I'm ever going to sell. I think I would probably just refinance it. Just because it, you know, the city, it's like selling in Manhattan or something. Like it just doesn't make sense.
Would you do like a cash out refi to get some dough back?
Yeah. Get some dough and go buy some more properties, but
patience is the game here too with that. So like that's a great point. We know somebody we interviewed on, I think show 11 or 12 is actually, my cousin is marrying this guy, Rio, and he'll be my family. His father owned a property in Soho in 1970, a commercial unit, and it was where he bought it for $60,000. You want to take any guess of what he sold it for in 2013? 45 years later, $60,000, $10.6 million. I mean, you can't make this shit up. So that's patience. That's the ultimate patience. If I had that, like... that gets you going, right?
He's going to.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Yeah, you want that Lambo? There you go. Just taking. Shut up.
Anyway, we're getting crazy. We're getting off topic. But
before I'll let you go. I'm all around. I don't want to pass this over because you are a realtor and investor friendly agent, which I love. We have a lot of people ask us this, so I want your opinion. Mm-hmm. And you've mentioned that you did this while you were investing and then you switched over to becoming a realtor. Mm-hmm. My question for you is, what are the benefits of becoming a realtor to, as an investor? Like, how does it benefit you in the game? And while you're mulling that over, like, should an early or an aspiring investor become a real estate agent? Do you think it has enough leverage to bump them up and skyrocket their biz?
I would say it gives being a realtor or investor-friendly real estate agent gives me benefits and a lot of specific benefits that are helpful to me. But in general, I wouldn't recommend the average person to spend the time, get certified, get licensed, to become an agent. And the reason is you can invest in real estate without being an agent, right? You just need the knowledge of investing, how to analyze deals, get your money right. You can move forward, your credit right, and move forward. But with me being an investor-friendly real estate agent, I get to meet wholesalers, right? I get to meet bigger players in LA that have out-of-state portfolios, that are also realtors here, right? You get to meet buyers. Like I said, I have a dentist client, I have a lawyer client who have money and are looking to invest. So that helps me as an investor to go and invest further, you know, in my own endeavors or my own portfolio. But the average person, it's not even necessary. Find an investor-friendly real estate agent, but you don't have to be one. It's just a perk because of the way my life kind of landed with the brand and everything. Yeah, it's all going in one direction. Synergy, bro. All in one direction.
Love that. I needed the word. I got it first.
You can thank Craig Kierlob. He taught me that.
Yeah, right. Craig's great. He was like one of the first that we had that talked in depth about house hacking, and obviously that's his thing. And he's the Fi guy. So, you know. Cool. So as we get towards the end of our show, we want to highlight here and just talk a little bit about your courses and your business. If you could just talk up to our audience about what you provide specifically in your courses. I know that you have the multifamily money house hacking course, and just kind of educate us a little bit on what you feel you bring to people that sign up.
Yeah. So like basically what the courses provide, it's like that 2020 hindsight is 2020. You know, like just vision and understanding of all those mistakes that cost you time, that cost you money, screening. I've had tenants that tried to sleep with me. I've had tenants that didn't pay the rent. I've had contractors bail. And I create systems and give the game, gems, information, knowledge on how to avoid all those things. For example, in negotiation, like I learned, you know, how to get thousands of dollars from the sellers through my real estate investing endeavors, right? Through my trials and errors. And so basically somebody who purchases the course, they can go from having zero knowledge of how to get that multifamily, right? But not just how to get that multifamily, how to get a great deal, how to interview your lender, how to make sure you get a good investor-friendly real estate agent, right? Once you're in the deal, before you even get in the deal, how do you even know if it's a good deal? Then once you're in the deal, how to get more money out of the seller. Like some of my students, one young lady's in the Bay Area, she's like, she's so soft-spoken. She's like, yeah, with Mark's help, I didn't even know I could get, you know, $10,000 from the seller. I was just so shocked. And I used his techniques. And it's not like magic. I'm not promising that if you use certain negotiation tactics, you'll get $10,000. But many of my students have, you know, gotten that. And then I think the last thing is like knowing things that I didn't know when I started, like grants, different programs that you can use, how to leverage your property to get the next property and, you know, take out equity and move on to the next one. The DTI ratios that you need to get that second home, that vacation home. It's just so many things that you learn over time that you don't realize is really valuable. But when you package it up and give it to someone else, it's like they're opening a chest. What treasure, man. So
yeah, you're bringing it to the forefront, which is great. So like one of the reasons we do the podcast is so that we can tell people not to do some of the things that we've done, like, and
exactly
the mistakes that we made. We're just telling you what happened. Like, and we're happy to go, we're just not scared. So we're happy to go through those mistakes and just deal with it as they come, lose some money, like whatever, but
that's learn and grow.
Yeah, exactly. Like that's,
so I think it's cool. You're basically packaging everything up with a little bow on top of like, you're, people will go buy a book, right? And they'll read it, but they won't take the action after that. They forget half the things on the way through. And unless they're doing like a mini book report per book, mm-hmm. but I think courses and like online education is kind of the new wave, as I'm sure you would agree. But mm-hmm. with your course, can you just break it down for me? It's like, is it an interactive course where you do videos and you do walkthroughs mm-hmm. on like analyzing deals and things like that? Because if so, that's crazy.
Yeah, man. So just to kind of speak on the first thing you say, Ryan, I took a course by Michael Blunt. I buy courses, right? Shit, I'm in UCLA taking courses, spending thousands and thousands of dollars, right?
For college courses, is the ultimate course, right?
There you go. Yeah. So, but I took a Michael Blunt course on syndications and like how to raise money, what kind of lawyer representation you need, and he goes through how to analyze a deal, how to do due diligence on a deal, how to raise money. You were talking about the exit event. Is it buy and hold forever? Is it 5 years? What are the different models? I know all of that because I went through his course. I can answer that easily. When I get on investor calls, I can answer anybody's question because I took that course. So similarly, I do the same thing. I go over, like, we talk about like Rent Ready, Cozy, Avail. I go through the like videos, recordings of me, of the different software you can use, like where to get your leases, how to analyze the deals, sample deals, right? Different things to say in negotiation, like specifics, you know, just going through different loan programs. I'm on different websites. So very interactive, man. There's like homework, worksheets, all kind of stuff. Also support group, community groups. And it just takes people from like, most people are shocked how much information is in there. I put a lot of information in there, but I do it in like in pieces, man. So people can digest it. Break it down into pieces.
I really like it because you have, I don't know, let's just call it 10 years of experience in the real estate world, just from like, whether it's managing properties, being an agent or having your own. And then you package all that up into concise information in a walkthrough. And like, they get you as you're the real gem there, right? They like, as a resource, they can keep going back to. I think it's really cool. It's the new, like, people are using social media for intake of information, right? Books are kind of becoming a thing of the past, unless you get recommended a really good one. Like, people will go read them, or like an audio book, but people want things quick. And like, then it's like, oh damn, I have a question. So some people don't have to go to college and they're just going and get all these courses. And we've heard tons of investors, hey, had listened and interacted with three courses, I'm good. And then they have 25, 30 units or cash flow and they're great, financially free. So it's just cool to hear it from you, like the creator. Right. Mm-hmm. And then what we see online and when you click the link tree, everyone's got them, but like, thanks for walking us through, because that makes me feel way more at ease, right? Like recommending your course to someone's like, listen, Mark's going to take care of you.
Yep.
Here's a good way of explaining. I probably didn't do a great job, but I'll give an example of a student, right? There was a guy who had two students who had crazy amounts of student debt, right? He was a doctor and his wife was a doctor as well. Every time he went to the loan officers, they denied him. He just got, his DTI was off. His student loan payment was so just like too high. But there are little gems about certain loans that have different ways of qualifying people, right? That allow you to use a lower percentage of that student loan payment that he learned through the course. So he went from like him and his wife married, have a baby, homeownership is just out of the picture. It's just not possible, to owning a property. And I have somebody outside of Manhattan in Jersey City who did the same thing, a lawyer. Everywhere she turned, just never even thought it was possible to own a property, bought a duplex outside of Manhattan after taking the course. So it's really good practical information. And I explain it really, really simply, slow, break it down, so that people can take it and go change their lives, man.
That's awesome. And you have three courses. So you have the multifamily money house hacking mm-hmm. course, then the NACA secrets, mm-hmm. and then real life monopoly. Real quick, what does NACA stand for? I don't get it.
So Neighborhood Assistance Corporation of America, right? The crazy thing was, bro, like, this is it. Again, 10 years in the game, and it's more like 8-9 years, whatever, we'll call it.
Yeah, we'll go 10
years. Round up. Let's do it.
Yeah, round up. There's so many things that you learn over time that it's like, shit, if I knew this when I started, my whole trajectory could be different, right? So like, I didn't know about this program that allow you to buy multi units with 0% down. So no down payment, no closing costs. I thought it was BS. I thought it was a hoax. I thought it was all these catches. It was too good to be true. Come to find out, it's legitimate, right? It's been around for like 28 years. Nobody really knows about it. Like how you said, what is this NACA? And so I started evangelizing, teaching with the Real Life Monopoly, which is like the third course. Some of my students started, I was coaching people on the side about buying their next property, buying like cabins, Airbnb them in Joshua Tree, doing things in the mountains by the lake, and they're just killing it. Right. So I'm like, I got to create a course to break all this down. Like I got a loan officer on my team. How do you get to second property? How do you manage the DTI? What are the different loans they can use? And I walk through each scenario, right? And use my students as a model on how you can get that next four unit, how you can get the cabin, how you can get the Airbnb cash flow property, packaged it in and changing lives. And it's hard for some people to understand because it's like, you're telling me I can buy a $100 course and you expose all this information that's going to change my life. I'm like, yes, here's the proof. Like I have like Airbnb pages of my students with the reviews, like the money they're making, like it's legitimate. But I think some people just, I don't know, maybe it's too good to be true that it's $100.
People spend, they'll buy the Jordans, bro. You know this. Right. They're not spending, they're like, dude, I'm not spending another $100 to on a guru fake course, whatever. Right. They don't know what's real and what's not. So that's why I'm peeling back these layers here, because you talked about, dude, you're living your passion right now. You're good. Like financial freedom's coming, whatever. You're just giving back. That makes you feel good. And it's good to hear from like, I guess just like a kind-hearted good guy from like you, that would, you would just see your face there, right? In a couple posts, right? And you wouldn't know, like, how would I really know that that's you're true. Passionate about this stuff? So
how do I trust you?
Right. Right. And so it's cool to hear that. And I think it's something we'd highly recommend people to go check out for $100. Are you kidding me?
Right.
Think about going out to brunch or something. You're dropping $100 easy.
Bottomless mimosas.
Yeah.
Bottomless mimosas, bro.
You knew that we were getting there.
Yeah. So something crazy, and let me know if I'm talking too much, we can end it or whatever. I'll shut up, but
keep going.
UC Berkeley just inviting me out for the second time to speak at the university, right? So I already spoke. Thank you, man. I already spoke earlier this year. And then they're like, hey, come back for the fall. Hopefully if it's open, I'll actually fly out there or whatever. But something cool that happened speaking on the course is I am a genuine guy. Like I love this stuff. I'm studying at UCLA. I don't even advertise. I don't get my MBA at UCLA, like on my Instagram. I'm just like, I'm here to help you and give you information about real estate. And I have this cartoon, you know, face.
I love your cartoon, man. That thing is fire. I'm sorry. Side note, but I really,
it was like $100 or $200 to design, whatever. But I have a student who purchases the course, right? You guys won't believe this. Applies the information and learns another loophole again on how she can use her fellowship income to get a house in the Bay Area. This is a Bay Area, expensive ass Bay Area.
Hottest market, yeah.
And hottest market and house hack and did it successfully off the $100 course. So she reaches out to her people and like, this guy is the real deal. I found him on Twitter. He had the little emoji face, took a chance on the course, applied the information, and now I have a house in the Bay Area.
What's the return on investment on us spending $100 and then getting this?
in the Bay Area property? Yeah. Tell me that, man.
It's near infinite. I don't even know what it is, but it's just crazy because when I was that young kid at 21, 22, trying to figure it all out, nobody was on Instagram. I don't even think Instagram was like hidden like that, but nobody was out there teaching the information like passionately and genuinely. And so now I speak to the graduate students and I teach them how they too can get like property. So it's legitimate stuff, man. It's the perception. Like you said, how the hell do I know this is going to give me these results? Right.
Yeah. So totally. Very cool. Awesome. Thank you for sharing, man. That was really cool. And we're obviously, if you're listening to the show right now, you have already heard all the value that
I'll plug it again at Living Rent Free on Instagram. Click the link in the bio. You'll see the courses in there. If you have an extra $100, you're going to go get Bottomless Mimosas. Buy the real estate course.
Yeah, exactly. Or do both.
Celebrate after you buy the course. Go get some mimosas.
So we're at the core four, which is the second to last segment of our show. We're going to ask, we ask the same four questions and we just to get to know you a little bit more personally. So Mark, what's your favorite investing or business book? Our first question.
There's two. I like reading a lot of old school books. There's a book called Black Folks Guide to Making Big Money in America.
Cool. Never heard of it.
It was written in the 70s, but it was like Rich Dad, Poor Dad combined with like house hacking, real estate investing, and like starting a business like years ago. Guys, like, it's out of print. It'll cost you like $100 on Amazon, but it cost me like $10 when I read it like years ago. And my second favorite book is Set for Life by Scott Trench.
Great book.
Yeah, it's like, it would be my top one if it wasn't for the other book, but it's my number two. That book is like phenomenal, man. I love that book.
I have a couple books that changed my life. Rich Dad Poor Dad, obviously, but like, I just hate talking about it because everyone talks about it. And that did change my life. That, Retire Early Through Real Estate by Chad Carson, who we had on the show, which was awesome. Just because there's so many case studies.
Wait, can you say it one more time?
Retire Early with Real Estate. It's either Retire Early with Real Estate or Retire Early Through Real Estate. Yeah, Retire Early with Real Estate. Chad Carson. Look him up as Coach Carson on Instagram.
I've heard of Coach Carson.
The Carolinas, I believe.
He played at Clemson.
Yeah, he's so legit. And that book is like has 20 case studies of all these people retiring early. That and then Set for Life. Set for Life was just like,
we read these three in unison, like consecutively. And it's like, all right, man, I got to do something tomorrow. Like, yeah. Let's go. Like, what are we doing?
That's run through wall shit right there.
So yeah, that's why we don't have
run through wall shit. Seriously, bro. Like after you read Set for Life and like even Rich Dad Poor Dad, you're like, let's go. You start getting antsy, man. Like, let's make it happen.
See, literally, you're like, what do I do next?
I'm sweating thinking about it, man. I really am.
It gets me going, man.
It's second question.
It's fire. Just remember, back to our interview with Chad, like Corey, that's like Corey's guy. Like he was, right. That was his like pinnacle. When he met him, it was like, he was not trying to fanboy, but he was jacked that whole interview.
I was.
Coach, like, this is awesome. Like, and that was like, it was great.
Episode. Early,
it was
like
in the 20s.
I think it was before 20. I think it was like 16, 17. So
he's got a great channel and things like that. So check out Chad Coach Carson on YouTube. By the way, he does great walkthroughs on numbers and things. If you're listening and you want to learn how to like analyze deals and things like that, he's amazing. But let's continue the core four. Second question is: what's been your biggest mistake you've made along your journey so far, and how have you learned from that mistake?
I think my biggest mistake was like hesitating on executing on my vision. We didn't talk about it in the podcast, but I waited a couple years before when I first learned about house hacking. It wasn't called house hacking, but when I first made the decision, I waited a few years. I was trying to convince family. I had a serious girlfriend at the time. She wasn't into it, but prices were way cheaper. 2 years, like closer to
the crisis. Don't worry, there'll always be way cheaper in the past. So,
right? Yeah. So I would have, and then I would have had that upside, that appreciation in 2 more years of investing, right? Underneath my belt, 2 more years of experience, 2 more years of everything. So I would say if you have a vision, just like execute on it and don't wait, like run through walls, like Corey was saying, just run through walls, man.
We've been running through a lot recently.
Oh God.
Starting to get a little sore, but we're just going to keep going. So that's awesome. That's a great
keep
answer.
Keep going, Corey.
Yeah. Thanks, man. I needed this interview. Thank you. So third question, who's your who for 20, we say in 2021, but it's really like this next year, 2021, 2022, by meeting this person, you feel your life or business will be propelled to the next level. And if you don't have somebody that you're like looking to meet, aspiring to meet, maybe who is somebody that I think I know who you might say, you might've mentioned her in the podcast, but like who's somebody that you've met that's helped you get to the level that you are currently at? Either one.
Somebody that I would meet that would take me to the next level.
Maybe they're listening. Who knows?
Yeah. Right. You never know. there's a guy named Ed Bolden at Bolden Capital. He has a private equity firm. And he raises money and he buys apartment buildings out in Atlanta. If I met him, that would take me to the next level. Or if I could like work for him or intern with him, because I love his energy. I love his drive. He was like the underdog, but now he is like one of the largest to do business in Atlanta. And he was the first one to really make me believe, okay, I can do it sooner than I thought I could. So
I want to highlight something real quick that you probably just glossed over that you didn't even realize you said, but you're 31. you're pursuing financial freedom. You have these courses that are bringing you income. And you just said to us that you would want to intern for this guy. And I think that people, I really do think that people lose sight of what it takes to get in with somebody, offering your services for free, being an intern at 31. Like, people were like, oh man, I deserve all this. I can't, like, I'm not work. Like, I tell the story sometimes, like, I offered up my, I'm a basketball coach, high school. I offered up coach for free and to build this relationship with awesome people. And it was right. The best thing I ever did. I don't care that I wasn't making money doing it. So it's like, that right there is just another nugget that people should, I don't care if you're 50 years old, to offer up your services for free, to get in with people genuinely, you know, you can't go wrong. So
love that. Last question of the core four, a little bit more deep here, but what do you want your legacy to be? So coupled with that is like, kind of like, what's getting you up out of bed every morning? Like, why are you doing this whole thing?
I think that's what I said in the beginning was my purpose, man. So like, the legacy was that he used his knowledge, his enthusiasm, his, you know, connections to empower other people, because legacy is what lives beyond you, right? So yeah, I built this great portfolio. Yeah, you know, I'm rich. Yeah, I'm a millionaire. But it's like, how many lives have you impacted? Like, I've shed like thug tears from students who have told me like, you're impacting generations. Like, I have a child who's going to inherit the property.
Thug tears, I love that.
And so I'm like, yo, I just shed a thug tear.
Come on, dog.
And so going to sleep, like going to rest, like, you know, at the end, your legacy is like, yo, I empowered all these people, right? And it's going to live on beyond me. And I want to do bigger things, like in private equity and big buildings and stuff. But even just getting money and putting money into and wealth into people, you know, my investors' hands, that's more legacy, right? So
yeah,
man, just empowering other people. That's the legacy, man. Generations of people.
Knowing that you've changed somebody else's life is a really, really powerful thing. And you're doing it all the time. So that's awesome.
Yeah, I love that. Very admirable. Last segment of the show is the last drop. Simple one for you. But knowing what you know now, what would you go back? What advice would you give younger Mark, say 18, 19 year old Mark, if you could go back and have a conversation with him today?
Bitcoin. No, I'm kidding.
Shit, you're probably right. Yeah, forget real estate.
Invest in Twitter.
right. Bitcoin is real estate. No. To be honest, I kind of figured this out, man. And I say, have undying, invincible faith in yourself. And I think all the things that I thought I couldn't, like, I speak Spanish, right? So like all the things I was like unsure about accomplishing, like the accomplishing stuff is like easy. Getting the success is easy. I think convincing yourself that you can do it, or like believing in yourself enough to do it, is the most difficult part. So I would say have unlimited faith in yourself and dream big and execute on those big dreams, man.
I don't want to knock any of the 66 other guests that we had on, but that was one of the best answers that we've had, just because you're right. You are totally right. This game of life is about mindset. And it's so easy to say mindset, but to really convince yourself that you're going to do something, accomplishing it is the easiest part. So that's great.
Breaking through your inner, it's not laziness, right? But it's like your cap. It's like, you're like, I'm capped at this. This is my ceiling. Like, nah, you know, I'll make like a couple mil, but I won't make 100 mil. Really? Why not?
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? That's exactly what that speaks to me. Like, you're talking bigger buildings and things too. Like, you know, maybe I'd just be cool with a couple and be like, nah, like, you know, I'll never make over 5 mil.
Right.
Who's to say you can't make 100? Too much. Not that you need it, but you can if you set your mind to it.
Yep.
Right. I love that.
That's awesome. Mark, this has really been a pleasure. We're just happy to be able to interview you. If people want to get to know you more, they want to learn from you, they want to maybe take one of your courses or just network with you, where can they find you?
You want to network with me? LinkedIn, Mark Jones, Mark Jones II, on LinkedIn, just networking. Same also at networking Instagram. So at Living Rent Free, so no G, like Living Rent Free, but no G. And from there, you'll find everything about me and click the link in the bio and everything about me. But again, if you want to just pure networking, follow me or connect with me on LinkedIn.
Cool. I'm in.